Yeah, what you don't.
Since my sister died, it seems that the boys need emotional support.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been out more to see me more.
Yes, I would think that it's been...
They're having a little problem with you.
Yeah, I think we've...
You've guessed as much. Huh?
Yeah.
But my sister ruined Hugh's life. Hugh came up here when he was 16 or something and wanted to live with me and go to Piedmont High. And the teachers liked him, I liked him, and my girls liked him, and he was having fun. But my brother-in-law my husband was afraid he would take the Green Hornet. And he said every time he looked around, there was Uncle Sam's face, and he couldn't stand it. And Poy and Lon had put out all they could to buy him new suits and new luggage and everything to come up.
Yeah, back to where we...
So his excuse for getting back home without Uncle Sam feeling that he was responsible... he told them he was homesick, but he wasn't homesick. Uh-huh. And when he was up here 2 years ago, uh-huh, he said the mistake of my life was that I didn't stick it out. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Well, that's a steep already.
I think that might help. So, I don't let you know I know anything about anything. Mm-hmm. And if he wants
to that's wisest.
If he wants to tell me things, all right. But right now, I have two grandsons, one from Hong Kong and one from Davis, having trouble with their family.
Yeah.
And I seem to be the one. So I don't know anything. I just listen.
Sometimes that's the thing that you need the most, is somebody to listen.
To listen to me.
As an outlet.
So when Sylvia was here on Columbus Day, she said she rushed back from Washington on account of Larry's birthday. And I know that Larry would just as soon skip going home for his birthday, because he just doesn't like his mama.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell her that. Because she wants me to think that she's on good terms with her children.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I guess everybody goes through a stage, too.
Well,
the young kids.
I think that generation gap is a great help.
Uh-huh.
Because the grandparents have experience, and they've mellowed. And the parents are so busy making ends meet that they don't have time for the children. So they have problems.
Yes.
And then my cover boy grandson, who's very proud of me, because at the wedding, he went to the fellow who was walking me up the aisle, you know, to my seat.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Would you excuse me? This is my grandmother."
Oh, right.
And he took me up there. So I know that, you know, Claire is very fond of me. And when Sylvia was here on Monday, I said, well, Larry from Hong Kong,
mm-hmm,
not only gave me his picture when he came, he said, "Grandma, I've got something for you." And I thought it was something nice for me. And all of a sudden, it was a picture of himself. He just wanted not to be forgotten.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we were back to, you said, the reception in, given by a President Wilbur. Wilbur, yeah.
A very nice dinner, sit-down dinner.
Uh-huh.
And he was extremely proud of the democracy of education in China.
How did all the Chinese students feel about?
I don't know. They were northern students.
Uh-huh.
They were not.
There was only Pardee Low and George Chan, maybe one of them, that spoke Cantonese, and I was on good terms with them.
They were native born.
George is from what is the name? Well, George was getting $300 a month from his family for spending money. But I didn't bother.
Californian?
He liked me a lot. I didn't care for him. His girlfriend married that lawyer, that humpback lord in Los Angeles.
Oh,
Wai-Si Hong?
I see.
And he used to read Mabel's letters to me.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't it?
Small world,
girls
too.
Girls won't do. Mabel was after him because, you know, there was money in that family. And, George was 6 years younger than I.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see him for dust. And besides, I was too busy.
Yeah.
I couldn't see boys, period.
Mm.
And in spite of having the Japanese clubhouse and some Filipino boys after me, and I had George and Pardee, but I used them to carry my suitcase if I went to San Francisco home or used their transportation.
You're saying that in that day at Stanford there were Filipino boys?
Oh, yes.
And Japanese? And they all had their own little clubs or something?
The Japanese house I was proud of, but I was awfully ashamed of the Chinese house.
Where was the Japanese house?
I don't remember now. No. But here's the thing. They had broken china. That nobody would change the light bulbs. Nobody would take care of the lawn. And I was so ashamed of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny. And the communists was already starting. And they were having communist fights at Stanford. And
this is the 1920s?
In the 20s.
My Lord.
Well, don't forget my husband's brother was killed in 27.
Yeah.
And then Terry Ho, I think, became superintendent of the Chinese hospital in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He lost one eye because there wasn't enough light coming down the stairs.
At that clubhouse?
Uh-huh, and he fell and broke, ruined his eye.
Oh, no.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And as I say, with broken teacups and everything else, and nobody looking, where are those Chinese boys? All hung on to their $80. And if there was any left, they wanted to take it back there.
Yeah.
And then some of them would wear their shoes until they were shiny. Just sit down, please. Well, no, you first. Until they were shiny.
Thanks, Russ.
Because they wanted to save their $80.
Uh-huh.
And some of them even let their coat linings hang out. I was ashamed of them.
How
you know how teenagers are, young people are.
How about George Chen, the native born? Did they also go to the Chinese club?
No, I got along fine. He didn't live at the Chinese club.
I see.
Not with 300 in 1920s.
But did you all have meetings there or something? The Chinese all got together or something?
I didn't feel like going because that awful clubhouse.
I
was ashamed of it.
Wasn't much different through the rest of the years either, to tell you the truth. I remember it. Huh?
It was still bad.
Well, when I was there, which is the 60s,
yeah.
It was just like that, maybe a little bit better.
Well, you can imagine how
But
bad.
Now it's gone. It's been torn down by Stanford, and they've replaced it by other buildings.
No, but you can imagine what a mess it was.
I was
so ashamed of it.
It wasn't ever too...
And they dressed so hopelessly. I was interviewed about why the Chinese students did not partake more. I have a copy of it.
Oh.
In the Stanford Daily or Press or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do that recently?
No, Maxine, who was at my table. I
oh.
was chosen to be the representative for the Diet Committee.
Mm-hmm. I see.
At Roebly.
Oh, that's back when you were a student.
Mm-hmm. And the girls usually picked about too much starch and not enough salads. You know, everybody was weight conscious even then. And I got along fine with the establishment, so to speak.
But you thought enough to ask you about why the Chinese didn't involve themselves so much more? In the
yes, and so it was very interesting, because I was younger then.
What'd you say?
I said, because they were leaders in China before they came here, or they wouldn't have been chosen. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know English as well, and they were shy, mm-hmm. or something like that. I'll have to make a Xerox of it for you.
Oh, that's oh. nice. Uh-huh.
Maxine was at my table. Uh-huh. See, each girl is chosen to supervise a table of 8 or 10,
uh-huh.
and I was head for my table. Mm-hmm. And then the house mother and the housekeeper was very fond of me,
mm-hmm.
and they let me have the I think it's Keller's cleaners and the laundry,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have to handle any of the dirty clothes. All I did was to all they did was to throw it in one room with their name on it and room number, and all I did was to hand it out to them when it came back. And then I got 20% out of every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also served dinners,
mm-hmm.
at $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
And $3.50 was good money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also babysat David Starr Jordan's grandchildren. I think I told you that before.
I think so.
So that and then the old, the first president of Stanford was so old, no matter how many times I told him, I'm sorry, I can't understand you, I'm not Japanese. And so when Cynthia, Sin Lu, my granddaughter, was in Stanford, in Japan, I think, or wherever she had to be, one evening at a social, each one was supposed to tell a funny story,
mm-hmm.
connected with their lives or their family's lives in Stanford. And she told about David Starr Jordan always talking Japanese to her.
Oh, I bet that got over.
Uh-huh.
That's as traditional as you can become.
And then Carol Green Wilson, who has become the California writer, the late Carol Green Wilson, she was the only one allowed, except Hoover, on the campus. They built Hoover a house, you know.
Yes.
But there was a fourplex built for the three bachelor professors. And then Carol Green, because she was editor for the Stanford Illustrated,
uh-huh.
She got an apartment. And her father was Dr. Green. Retired.
Yes.
And her mother was still alive. And she met me through Miss Cameron. And from then on, I was frequently her guest at dinners.
This Dr. Green, was it a chemistry professor?
Right? Mm-hmm.
No.
M.D.
Oh,
retired.
Doctor.
Okay. And then I knew what was her name? She was the head of the YWCA, and her husband was supposed to have killed her. Thank you. And she and Carol were great friends.
Just a little bit more.
And when I had the Chinese baby's age.
Thanks.
What was her name? Anyway, she used to bring her children. Her children, I forget whether there was one or two, to play with my little Chinese orphans at Atherton. See, the first one was established at Menlo Park, and then I moved them from Menlo Park to Atherton.
The Chinese Babies Aid?
Uh-huh.
My goodness.
The Chinese Babies Aid was established by Miss Cameron in Menlo Park. And she had a hard time establishing it because it was an institution.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's a minority institution, that much more. Objective.
Yes.
But finally she established it, and Miss Kyle had to leave. And I finished medical school, and I wanted to come back. I had the money because of those four scholarships. I wanted to come by way of the Panama Canal and all that. And I had fancy dreams, fantasies. But Lomo gave me one of the girls that had $800 on any knowledge of her at all. Her name was Hannah. And Miss Cameron wanted me to hide her. Because they knew how to follow Miss Cameron. Mm-hmm. But Miss Cameron had to hide her with someone who could speak Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And cook rice for her.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't suspect.
Outside of Chinatown.
So that took care. That took care of my trip through the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
So instead, I bought Curtis Wright and General Motors and something else.
With the money that you had for the trip. Wise move.
And then you came back to Los Angeles. No.
No. Came back to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And Miss Cameron needed someone to take Miss Kyle's place.
Mm-hmm.
And what could I do for all she's done had done for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I was only too happy to volunteer.
At the same time, you just...
I went down there and took care of that.
And did you work for other hospitals?
I didn't do anything else.
That was your full-time job?
My full-time job, because I had to do the work as well as the medical.
How many years were you there?
Quite a few, 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
When did you go to L.A. County?
In the 30s, right after the earthquake.
I moved with
the new hospital.
Was that after the baby's aid
episode? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's when I had the trouble with Dr. Geiger.
Oh, okay. So you.
And then we didn't have a playground. All we had was a sandlot.
Whereabouts in Menlo Park was this? Where Atherton?
Where was this? This was not 740 37th Avenue, San Francisco.
Oh, now you
moved
back.
Them from Menlo Park, again, the whole family and the whole institution, to San Francisco. And all we had was enough money to build the building, but not enough money to qualify. So that's when I had trouble with
Geiger,
and I thought of the fact, okay, your other places has the facilities, but do you have the medical facility for emergencies?
Did you have any community support at this time, like from the Chinese community?
Well, Deng Zhouyang, do you know him?
No, but tell us.
Well, he was one of the Y, he was president of the Y.
Uh-huh.
And Feng Bingsheng.
Uh-huh.
He was the Chinatown titular head,
mm-hmm.
and quite a few.
Much later, I think I remember the Square and Circle raising money for Zhongmei Home.
And Circle, Mrs. Yu belonged.
Yeah.
But that came much later, right? At that time, did they support?
I think they gave a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
had very little.
Yes.
So it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the welfare, or whatever it was, and I wanted to see Mr. whoever was in charge. And they said, well, they were sorry. Did I have an appointment? And I said, no. And I didn't even know the name of the man who was in charge. They said, well, if you don't have an appointment, I'm sorry. We'll have to make one, and we can't. And he's very, very booked up. This is during the Depression and the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just sat there, and I thought, well, use your head. And I sat there and listened, and I heard them say, Mr. Rattray. And I slipped right in between his next appointment,
mm-hmm.
and introduced myself. And asked him to help us build a playground. And I also asked him to appoint me as a physician for this project, and I got $75 a month. Was it 50 a month? 50 a month.
That's Geiger.
No, that's Josephine Randall.
Oh.
San Francisco's Recreation Department.
Oh, okay, okay.
She was very famous too.
Woman was running the rec department at that time.
And I think it's dedicated to her.
I think there is.
And then through something or other, I met Miss Baumendorf, who was an outstanding public health nurse for the Shriners Hospital.
Mm.
And I still have the two little dolls. They were made Chinese dolls, a man and a woman, in Chinese clothes, all made by hand, that Miss Baumendorf gave me. I still have them.
What led you to leave the Chinese Babies Aid? You felt you had to go on with career, or?
Well, heavens, who can live on 50 a month?
Pretty hard.
How many children were there at that time?
We could only keep, I think, 15 or 20, I forget.
And those are the children of the Cameron House?
From birth to five. Uh-huh. But we had to keep some until five and a half, because there was no place to put them.
Where would they go? Foster homes?
Other homes or adoptions.
Did they move into the Cameron House if they were girls, or?
No, they never got that old.
I see.
Because Lomo's object in founding this institution was to get the babies from these contaminated women.
But they were the children of the Cameron girls.
Oh, no.
They were not.
They were orphans, or their mothers were sick with tuberculosis. And the father had to work. Men were working for $30 a day.
Oh, so often these were families, Chinese families, which really could not manage to support their children.
Like, how could you on $30 a month? And across from my office at 715 Sacramento Street, diagonally across from Margaret Chung, where I had my first office, one family I had, the man was only a Chinese cook for an American family, and he was only earning $30 a month in his board and room. Mm-hmm. And he had to support his wife and two kids. And they didn't have even cribs for the children. Mm-hmm. They used two of those bamboo chairs and put them together, and the children slept that way.
It must have been a battle to take the children away for their own good from the parents. Was there any problems with that?
We didn't take them away. They came to us.
Oh,
how did they hear about you?
Well, they heard about Miss Cameron. They didn't hear about me. I was working for Miss Cameron.
So it became a voluntary thing, and so many did come.
Well, as many as we could tell.
Yeah.
Were they
as many as Dr. Geiger would allow.
Uh-huh.
See, when you have limited facilities and you don't live up to all the specifications, and the only way I could get back at him was to say, okay, what about your infant shelter? Do you have a full-time doctor? Mm-hmm. Do you have a full-time nurse 24 hours around the clock?
Yeah.
He couldn't say a thing.
Of course not.
How long did this institution last? After you left, it was still in existence?
It was in existence. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It wasn't in existence in the same way. Mm-hmm. The money went to China for the war. Mm-hmm. And so Mrs. Wu, Mrs. Andrew Wu...
You mean the Chinese money that was coming in then got shifted to China?
No. The Chinese had to raise half of it. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese half didn't come in.
Yeah, because of the war.
The United Crusade gave us the rest.
I see. And therefore, that pretty much shut down the facility, or...
So Mrs. Andrew Wu was having trouble with her husband. And they moved in and took in the few that were left.
Oh.
And then I was left with two retarded children.
Uh-huh.
And one little baby was a Tom Guy. Did you ever hear of that man?
No.
Well, they call him Superman Tom. 14 kids. Pint size.
Retarded?
No.
Oh, no.
He made zillions during the war.
Oh.
He had the Paris cafe and saloon or bar.
Where was
down
that?
Down here in downtown Oakland.
Oh.
And then he sent people to where they wanted to go, you know, the sailors.
Yes.
And his son is Reynold Tom, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D, Reynold Tom. Have you heard of him?
No, we...
Well, he bought this great big condominium.
I see.
And tried to get me to move into there.
You say Mr. Tom was one of those children? Or?
No, I delivered his 14th child.
Oh.
In the house.
Oh.
And I said, how do you know that you're in labor? She says, I know because the head comes. All you have to do is give me a shot and it'll come out.
After 14, I would imagine.
Well, it's so badly stretched. It's like an old corset, you know.
Yeah.
But that's why the kids at Lincoln School here in Oakland call him Superman Tom. And then his child, Pinky.
Yeah.
One of his children got awfully sick and they didn't have the money. That's before he had the Paris cafe or whatever it was. Was so sick they took it to the medical room.
Yes.
And my helpers wouldn't take care of it because they said it was going to die.
Uh-huh.
So then I had to go make house calls, driving with one hand and the baby in the other hand. But I saved the baby, and I kept the baby in a carton in my office during the day while I was at the office. Mm-hmm. And she was all nice pink and white, and I called her Pinky. Mm-hmm.
She's still alive today?
No, she died.
Oh.
I think she died in an auto accident.
Oh, too bad.
And then I delivered a six-fingered baby here in Oakland. And their superstition was that the mother shook a hand from a man from Singapore who had six fingers, and that marked their child.
Huh? Chinese baby, huh?
Yep. But after that, I tried not to deliver any. I delivered another one on Jackson Street, three doors from where I lived. And I didn't know they owned the houses where we lived. Four houses that man owned. And he poor-mouthed me and said, look, would we live like this if we had money? And they had all the junk in the bathtub, and they were very stingy. And so I delivered him for nothing. And only to find out that he owned the building that I was renting from.
Oh, yeah, that would really get you, won't it?
So that's how people do.
So you went to L.A. for a year, intern.
I interned a year, and then I was a resident in contagious disease.
Uh-huh.
And then I did 3 months of tuberculosis in Fresno County,
mm-hmm.
when I, during which time I took care of the children's unit from tuberculosis, and I did pneumothorax twice a week. Now that's much more difficult than pneumoperitoneum that they do now. And then...
That's a surgical procedure?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very delicate. You have to be very careful. Anyway, I did it on Tuesdays in Wishiat Sanatorium, about 50 miles, maybe 35 miles from Fresno. And on Fridays, we went and did it for Fresno General and had lunch there.
How is Wishiat spelled, if I can ask?
W-I-S-H-I-A-H. It's an Italian name, Indian name. And the boys were so happy to have a young person there that they used to hang around and catch the guinea pigs for me. Because I didn't like, some guinea pigs seemed to know that they were doomed and they would go and hide, and I couldn't bear to catch them and inject them with tuberculosis.
Oh, God.